أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Okay, I must apologize coming late to class. The class started at 4:30, but this is just 3 minutes before, or 4 minutes before, 5:02. That's 30 minutes or so behind time. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. Between 4 and 4:30 was the time I took the rest. I just arrived from a journey today. On Friday, I traveled to Lagos, I came back. Yesterday, I traveled again, came back. And today, again, this morning, I traveled and came back. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, wa inna li jasadika alayka haqqa. Wa inna li jasadika alayka haqqa. Your body has rights over you. So sometimes you will use that body like that and then it will refuse to move. So was why I tried to take a 30-minute break. Also, I wasn't able to write our ahadith as we did them so that we can read it to us and explain it as it's appropriate. Today we should be talking about sujood sahwi, the prostrations of forgetfulness. The frustrations we make in Salah when we forget. When we forget in Salah. As-sahu. It could mean al-nisyan. To forget something. What rak'ah am I? Am I on the third rak'ah? Or am I on the fourth rak'ah? The individual does not remember. How does he handle this kind of a situation? Does it mean he was not concentrating in Salah? So nisyan is part of sahwi. From the aspect of sahwi, it's also al-ghafla to al-salah, our fifth salah. The person becomes oblivious because of salah, ghafla. His mind goes off salah. So two things make it is either he forgot out of ghafla or something. Or he became doubtful of the salah, shock. So that's why three things make the things we do in sujood sahwi. It's either out of ziyada, or out of nafsu, or out of what? Shock. Ziyada is you increase the salah. Like you pray 5 rak'ahs. Ziyada. For Fajr, someone can pray 3 rak'ahs. He adds to the salah. But this addition to the salah is not deliberate. Because if it were deliberate, the salah becomes ba'fila. Let's note this. When we make as-sahwu in salah, when we make forgetfulness in salah, or we begin to doubt the salah, that is when we are talking about sujood sahwi. Sujood sahwi comes in as a result of a forgetfulness or doubt while you are. But if it were a deliberate attempt to increase the rak'ah, for example, the salah becomes batila, null and void, useless. He has to start the salah all over. So someone observes Salatul Fajr and he wants to stand up for the third rak'ah. The ma'amun begins to say, sit down, subhanallah, he makes us the hasko. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He's standing up for the third rak'ah. Ulama say, don't follow that imam to stand on the third rak'ah. Why? Because you are aware that he has prayed 2 rak'ahs. You are not in doubt. You didn't forget. You are not upon error. So don't follow him. In fact, some of them say, when the imam thinks that he was sure, but the large majority of the people, the Ma'mumin, say that he's in error. He should follow the people. As was the case with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he led the Salah, either Salatul Asr or Dhuhr, in the hadith that is called Hadith Mujiyyadin, In that salah, the Prophet asked alayhi salatu wasalam, when Julia then said, has the salah been reviewed? Or you forgot? Hal naqasta salah aw nasita? Have you now changed this zuhur of 4 rakats to 2 rakats? Or nasita? Or you only observe 2 rakats out of forgetfulness? The Prophet did not accept the statement of Julia then. Why? Because he was certain that he made 4. Meanwhile, he had made how many? 2. So he asked the people, Asada for Zuliyadein, has Zuliyadein said the right thing? So the people said, yes. He went back and continued the salah. And he made his taslim after, he made the sajda or sujood the sandwich after the sajda. This is evidence that even if the imam is passing, he must follow the statement of the people. Because the Prophet was sure, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he made 2 rakats, that he made 4 rakats. The messenger was sure that he made 4 rakats. But the people said, no, you made 2 rakats, nothing else. So he followed them. So ulama say, when the imam urges and the people insist, this is what you have done. What should the imam do? He should follow the people. As the messenger followed the people with the hadith of Zuliyade. The point we are trying to arrive at this is that sujood sahwi must only be upon sahu, must only be upon nisyan or ghaflatun fitsala, forgetfulness or some sort of error in salah, or shak, doubt in salah. It is not upon something that somebody deliberately does. So if a person deliberately increases the rak'at of salah, 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 bil ijma. If a person deliberately says 2 rak'at of fajr will come to 3 rak'at, asar, he is concerned. Awal asar, we are the malame. Hey. So he makes 2 rak'at of fajr to become 3 rak'at, or 4 zuhur to become 5 rak'at. Allah salah. He does not have salah. Likewise, instead of making 1 ruku in 1 rak'ah, he says, no, I can make 2 ruku. In salatul kusuf, are we not making 2 ruku in 1 unit? So he makes ruku, he stands up. He goes to ruku again. They say, subhanallah, subhanallah. So that if you go for sujood, go. Go. If he refuses and says, no, this salah, don't follow him, and he does not have salah. What did we read on the Babu Salatul Jama'ah about the salah of Imam? Why is akhtalat salatul Imam? Now, kana zalika alayhi la ala al-mu'tamin. Is akhtalat salatul Imam? If the Imam deliberately spoils his own salah, if the Imam's salah becomes spoiled, that is zalika alayhi. The sin is upon that imam. La ala al-mu'tamin. That thing, that spoilage, is not upon those behind. So if the imam deliberately makes 2 rukus now, we know that he's making an error. If it is deliberate, salah, salah, salah. There's no salah. He will not follow. And his salah becomes invalid. Likewise, sujood. The imam deliberately makes a sujood in salah. I will make sujood. La salah salah. Instead of 2 for each rak'ah, he makes 3 or 4. Not mistake, like we explained. Not nisyan, not forgetfulness. Not out of shock. He just wants to do it. Then it is no more sahu. It's not sahu. So if what he does is from the things that will spoil his salah, like increasing the number of rak'at, like increasing the number of ruku'at, or like increasing the number of sujood, and the like of these, salah, salah, like sitting down twice for tahiyya. He sits down after the second rak'ah, he sat down after the third rak'ah again. He says, subhanallah, subhanallah. He continues to salah. Someone tries to say, imam, stand up. He refuses to stand up. Allah, salah. So deliberately increasing these things in salah, the arkan of salah will destroy the salah of the individual. So that is why the issue is about as-sahwu fi salah. And sahwu will involve three things. The first one is what? An-nisyan. He forgot. The second one will involve ash-shak. He then doubts. But from nisyan, two things can happen. He forgot, he added, so there will be ziyada. He forgot, and then he reduced, so there will be what? An-naqs. So how many will it be? How many would we have? We'd have as-sahwu regarding ziyada, as-sahwu regarding what? An-naqs, and as-sahwu regarding what? Ash-shak. So these are from the aspects of shak. So we have defined what we are talking about. So if he deliberately does it, then it's not sahwu. These things also happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama say so that we can learn and know what to do when we are in those conditions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went into those situations so that we can know what to do when we get into those situations. It's from the aspects of the perfection of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is a perfect code of life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. In the entirety of the life of the Prophet Muhammad what will you find? أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You find a perfect model. Something you copy. This is how to do it. This is how to do it. This is how to do it. So may Allah make it easy for us to be found followers of the Messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is the meaning of sujood sahwi. We are on Babu Sujood Sahwi, the chapter on sujood sahwi. My intention is that we should not go into the chapter today, unless we insist. If we insist that we should go into the chapter, we will go into it, inshallah. But if we don't insist, I will like it. And then we will ask questions and make answers, inshallah. But if we say no, let's continue, let's go into it. We will try to explain what is inside, inshallah. Sayyidul Qutb. We should go into it. We should not. I am very tired. Very tired. Please. Let us take the time today to ask. But we have known what sujood sahwi means. Sujood sahwi means the two prostrations. That's why Imam Shokani says, Wahuma, what did he say? Wahuma. Sajidatani, the sujood will be sweet. The sujood with which we want to correct that nisyan or shak. They are two. Two of them. And these two, we can make them before the taslim. We can also make them after taslim. Depending on the sahu. We have explained that if the sahu comes from the arkan of salah. Sahu, not amdan, don't forget. We have removed something somebody does deliberately. We say it's not part of our discussion. Because those things will lead to a spoilage of his own salah. We are not talking about that. We are talking about mistakes. So those mistakes can come in the arkan of salah. Those mistakes can come from the wajibat of salah. Those mistakes can come from where? Sunan of Salah. I'm sure we all should know these three things. The arkan, you see now, those lessons will come upon one over the other. The arkan of Salah are those things that if they are not in the Salah, the person does not have Salah. The first rukun of Salah is Takbiratul Ihram. Allahu Akbar. The Takbir with which we come into Salah is the first rukun of Salah. That is where Salah itself starts. That's why there is no sujood sahwi for iqama, because Salah has not started. So nobody should ask.
If someone makes a mistake during the comma, should he make sujood the sahwi? Ah, so I see salah has not started. So when you say qat qamat is salah, the qat coming before qamat is li taqrib. The time of salah is what we say very, very, very near to start salah. So it's not to say that salah has actually started. What start salah is what? Taqdiratul ihram. So that's the first rukun of salah. Without taqdiratul ihram, that's not. So this rukun, if someone makes an error for a rukun like this, error, he didn't make taqdiratul ihram. Imam says people do that when they rush to join, for example, their ruku in salah. They rush, you see people. Sometimes they run, outrightly running. This is wrong. So because they find the Imam on ruku, they want to join that salah from ruku, because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man adraka ruku, man adraka ruku, kafad adraka ruka. Whoever makes the ruku has met the ruka. So they are rushing for this. So they just go instead of making takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, and then going to ruku, they go to ruku. This is an error. For this kind of error, this person has not started salam. The arkans must be brought back. The time that he will start his salah, you see he's on ruku, but he will stand up and say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. He to say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Rabbana laka alhamd. Allahu Akbar. To go to sujood. Allahu Akbar. He goes. He has not started salam until he's intense and then says Allahu Akbar to commence the salah. So if he does not remember till after the salah, he was just wasting time. When he now remembers that, oh, I didn't make takbiratul ihram. You now start salah again. Allahu Akbar. The arkan of salah. If you leave it, you must bring it back. So if someone is praying the first rak'ah now, he's on first rak'ah. He left out, the imam leaves out Suratul Fatiha. For example, in Salatul Zuhur, he leaves out Al-Fatiha in Zuhur. And then he stands up for the second rak'ah before he remembered that he had left out Fatiha in the first rak'ah. You know, he does not have salah. So what he will do, what the imam will do is to start that salah fresh. So meaning that he's going to pray five rak'ah. But they are not five rak'ah. How many rak'ah are they? Four. Because the first one is null and void. Why? A rukun of salah is missing. A major pillar is missing in salah. So we give that takbiratul ihram and standing as an example. Or someone is able to stand and he refuses to stand in salah. If it is deliberate, because standing is from the arkan of salah. The one who can stand in salah must stand in salah. If he does not stand in salah, if he sits down, when he is able to stand, he has no salah for obligatory prayer. For nawafil, no problem. I think we explained this. So these are arkan of salah and things related to it. Likewise, the error can come from ruku. Sometimes someone says Allahu Akbar. Instead of going on ruku, he goes on sujood. It has not happened to us before. Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, you are going for sujood. You should go on ruku. Then you just find that the man goes on sujood. What has he left behind? He has left ruku behind. So this man who has left ruku, when he remembers that he has left ruku, he will come back to that first ruku. If it's in the first rak'ah. If that leaving out of ruku happens in the first rak'ah. If it's in the third rak'ah, he will come back to the ruku of first rak'ah. to continue the salah. So the four, one, two, three that he has made, they are null and void, cancelled. He has no salah, null and void. He will come back to that rukun. Likewise, if it is sujood, if in the fourth rak'ah you have to make two of them, two sujood, two sajda, now the person makes sujood once, and then he stands up for the second rak'ah. When he's on the third rak'ah, he now remembers, that first rak'ah, I only made sujood once. He will come back to that sujood. So the second and the beginning of the third rak'ah, they are what? Cancelled, null and void. He will restart again from where he stopped. From that second sujood will be from where he will restart the salah again. And then he will carry on from there. Then when he makes the clean, he makes two sujood start. So this is the issue of handling the sujood sahwi with respect to the arkan. We'll come back to order. Then there can also be sujood sahwi vis-a-vis wajibat. Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, I'm going on ruku, he says Subhanallah, he goes on ruku. He has left one wajib from amongst the wajibat of salah. Wajibat from amongst the wajibat of salah has been left. Some of the ulama say you should go back and make that takbir. It is just in ruku, stand up, make Allahu Akbar and go back. Others say no, if he does not need to treat it as a rukun and then increase in the rukun, it's from the wajibat. So let him not just carry on. At the end of it, he should make sajda to start, either before or after the sleep. So what we are, I'm trying to say with this is that sujood sahwi can be with respect to the arkan of salah. Sujood sahwi can be with respect to wajibat of salah. Sujood sahwi ala sahih can also be with respect to the sunan of salah. From the sunan of salah is raising the hands in every rising and coming down. Everybody they say Allahu Akbar, yuka was okay, you raise the hand, Allahu Akbar. Raising the hand is sunnah in sunan of salah. Raising the hands, Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu, you raise your hand. Rabbana lakal hamd, you raise your hand, Allahu Akbar. If you intend to raise your hand but you forgot to raise the hand, that is sahwi. You intend to raise the hand but you forgot, it's sahwi. So it is sahwi regarding a sunnah. Imam Shokani mentioned it. So what did he say about that? وَتُشْرَعُ نَعْمْ وَيُشْرَعُ بِتَرْكِ مَسْنُونِ. It is also legislated. Sujood sahwi is also legislated with respect to leaving something that is sunnah in salah. Kese oran yati rukun in nonika. Kese opoi yon ati oran yani kalati man se sujood sahwi. A man se sujood sahwi ten abago sunnah yon na ale. But what is the proof for that? It is a statement of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, لِكُلِّ سَحْوِينُ سَجْدَةُ. For every sahwun, there's sajda. For every sahwun, there's. So if you make sahwun regarding arkan, there's sahwun. There's sajda. If you make sahwun regarding wajibat, there's sajda. If you make sahwun regarding sunan, there's sahwun. Why? The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for every sahwun, there's sajda. So kese igbake bagboro eyan kan ni ti file ni tan abi to ba se asise to ni se pelu oran eyan kan ni o se sujood sahwi. If the error has to do with sunnatun min sunan as-salah, yes, judu as-sahwi, the individual will also make sujood as-sahwi. Okay, jazakallahu khairan. So these are introductory notes about sujood sahwi. Okay, is this Qabliya Badi? This Qabliya Badi, we will address them in our next class. We will address them in short. I'm sure many of us will change many things when we discuss this. We will change many things when we discuss sujood sahwi. Because everything that we have been programmed to know, many of us, many, is that If you increase the number of units of salah, if you increase anything in salah, you do what? Ba'diyah. If you reduce anything in salah, you do what? Qabliyah. This is the mazhab of Imam Malik. In mazhab Shafi'iyah, their opinion is different. They say all tahawifat ba'diyah, they must be qabliyah. They must be before taslim, before salam. In mazhab Shafi'iyah. All. You add, you remove, shako, all to do the sawi pata, kobli no godo je. Down Shafi'iyya, among the Shafi'iyya. In mazhab Imam Abu Hanifa, all to do pata, ba'diyani, after. In mazhab Imam Malik, some ba'd, some kobli. As we know it, that's the one we are used to. Many times we think that, what is it called? Oti dara kobli. Badi lo apisa, oti dara badi kobli. We say, oh, somebody has committed an error of badi, he's paying back his kobli. He has made the error of kobli, he's paying that back with badi. Let us stop this idea. Cancel it first when you are coming for next class. Format that system, format it before you come here. So we will format it before you. But in the mazhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, wa huwa a'daluha, and it is the most balanced amongst the madhahib, is that do what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Manam sheshiyum, he was not sheshiyum. So where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added a rak'ah, what is it you do if you add a rak'ah? When he removed a rak'ah, what he did you do, if it is badi that he did, you too should do that. So it means you have to know all the sujood sahwi that happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he handled each of them. But don't be afraid. Because all those ahadith, oh, you may follow, there are just six of them. So we know 16. And I'm fast, six ways, 16. So when they say, this one you are doing, how do you say that? Man, that is the way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to make to do the same. Because if you do it, Qabliyah, Ba'diyah, as we are used to in the mazhab of Imam Malik, you can go to Malaysia or Indonesia where their mazhab is Shafi'iyah. You will have problems. They will tell you, in our mazhab, all sujood sahwi tata is qabliyah. Okay. When you give, maybe you went to do your master's degree in Malaysia, you have that problem. When you now go to do PhD in India and Pakistan, you will now meet the Hanafiya. They will now say that all sujood sahwi tata ba'diyani. So you say, what is this? That is PhD, Abi. You are now lecturing in Saudi, where the most common mazhab is mazhab Imam Ahmad. You now carry your practice in Pakistan and Malaysia and Nigeria. Nigeria, you are doing Malikiya. In Malaysia, MSc, you are doing Shafi'iyah. In India, Pakistan, when you went for PhD, you did Hanafiya. You now carry the three to Saudi, where you want to do professorial degree. So where you are, they are upon mazhab Hanbaliya. Which one will you use? Which of the first three will you use? Huh? Which one? Malikiya. The one they born you with. Or the one you use on BSc. Then you do the one in Shafi'iyah upon MSc. Or the one of PhD. Which one will you use? Maybe you use the PhD one, Hanafiya. Or to do the sawi is Ba'diyah, Ba'd al-Taslim. So, but when we understand what we want to explain, you will stay anywhere. And you will pray. When they confront you, why did you do what you said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That is the imam of all the madhahib, the the Imam of all the Madhahib is who? Muhammadur Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So he wants us to base our sujood at-tahwi upon this sunnah. A question can now come. These are imam. Why did they say what they have said? We will answer that question in the next class. Inshallah. So we are just trying to raise our appetite regarding it. Why did those imams say what they said? Inshallah, we'll answer that question in our next class. So I think we can stop here and to do this for a meeting. So that we can take questions. Inshallah. Is it true that someone must not change his position after Salah to Suti until the Imam will change his position? I don't know. Somebody has raised this issue and I am feeling that I have come across a hadith on it, but I can't remember now. If two people join the Imam and the Imam does not know the Sunnah to move them back, how do we do? The Imam does not know how to join the people, as we mentioned in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah and Jabbar ibn Sakhr. So how do we handle the situation? I have not read any fatwa. I don't know what ulama said. I have only known what they said. The Imam who should lead us in Salah should be someone who knows Salah. We are asking about someone who does not know Salah. If I say tap the person to come back, he will ask me what is my proof, and I don't have a proof. He will say, draw the brother back, or push the Imam forward. What is the proof to push the Imam? But I know a way out. You can talk to them. Imam wa susiwaju, that one is allowed. You can talk to somebody that is praying to correct something in this salah. And you have not joined them. You can say, Imam wa susiwaju, afa ke jienye duo seyin, afe joki on papo. You can say, Imam, move to forward. The second brother, wait behind, I will join you in salah. But because this question is upon the Imam who does not know. You lagidi. This question is based upon an Imam who does not know. You lagidi means that he will refuse. Say, kids, I should move forward. Because al-insanu aduhu ma jahil. People are usually enemies to what they don't. So brothers, when you relate to people, teach them, explain all these things to them. People don't know it. So if you say it and the Imam refuses to move forward, what will you now do? You can go and pray your own alone. Instead of pushing somebody, you want reward. Don't get into an innovation because you want reward. But you know if you pray alone, there's no problem. It's better to pray alone. Don't cause a trouble for yourself. Somebody will ask you, Afa, what you just did now, what is the proof? I don't know the proof. So why did you do it? But someone asks you, Afa, why are you praying alone? What is the feeling the Jama'ah in the masjid? Everybody has the right to pray alone. But Jama'ah is better. I don't want to make an error because I want better. Ulama will say, Al-Iqtisadu ala sunnah. Doing a little and being upon the sunnah, khairun min al-ijtihad fil bid'ah, is better than making effort, all the effort lacks proof. Okay, o ma se nkan pa pa tori ki nkan na o le ni ma wa se o da fun waju ka ma wa gbiyanju lori to je pe ko le fele lo ma so gbiyanju re ni o ti o ti ara pa wala tubtilu amala, don't waste your effort. So it's better for you to go and start the salah again. I don't know whether we have tried to answer this question. We tried the way we tried because it is something that happens always. It happens. You can pray behind the Imam there are two people praying, he doesn't know what to do. If you join him on that side, you may not, he will just continue. But join him too. But before you join, you can say it. You can say it. The man wants to see you. Kalibar, he's a man. When he moves forward, then you join the second verse. Allah. I think that's the solution. It is from the sunnah to talk to somebody. What is the proof for that? You didn't ask who. What is the proof to talk to somebody who is observing Salah? Now, hadith man, hadith is really a day. Hadith Abdullah bin Umar, and what? حينما غير الله القبلة, when Allah changed the Qibla. There are people in Medina who were praying facing the old Qibla. And Allah had changed it to a new Qibla. So when the person who had prayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got to Quba or near in the outskirts of Medina, he saw people praying. So he told them, "Oh, you praying? Allah has changed the Qibla. Turn in the opposite direction." They turned. You know, when they turned, the imam will be at the back of the people because the Qibla is just direct in the opposite direction of the fourth Qibla. But they moved and rearranged themselves and the Qibla was changed. So that is evidence that we can talk to somebody who is praying. You are not on Salah, you can talk to him. You can tell somebody who is praying, anytime came in, Eshin Kabai. And the person will do it. You will adjust the Salah. So you can do that in short. This hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith of Qiblatain occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. If you go to Tafsir ibn Kathir under وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعَ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبَ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ, you see these discussions. The walima to nikah is whose right, sir? Walima to nikah is the right of the new husband. If I marry today and I cannot marry today, so I'm not a good example. If a person marries today, that brother who marries is the one who has a right to do a walima. It is wajib on him. Orayani walima. The mazhab of Jumhur is that it is sunnah, mustahab. Walima to nikah. Wegewemu, the feast of marriage. Or the marriage feast. Mazhab Jumhur, a large majority of the scholars, is that it is what? Mustahab. But the correct view, inshallah, is that it is wajib. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that it should be done. In the hadith of who? Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. What did he say to him? Awlim. This command indicates an obligation. He said, Awlim. Make a walima. This statement, Awlim. Say walima. Do walima. Kayi walima. Is the evidence that walima is wajib on the husband. Because that was the person the Prophet was talking to. So this same hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Awf is the evidence that walima can come after akdu nikah. Because the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdurrahman, he was already smelling from perfume of having done something with his wife. So the Prophet said, you are smelling something. You marry me, nai aure. I married me. Did you do walima? I said, I didn't do walima. I said, aure. I go and do walima. So that means we can make akdu nikah and then later we do what? Walima. Do we get this point? The reason we are explaining this is that people always worry us. You people, why you not? I don't know. I could do the question. They will say, you are saying that you want to do actually first before Walima. Hey. You tell them, the companions did that during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. And all the marriages the Prophet did himself. He is the one who will do the Walima. He is the one who will provide food for the people. And I've been also saying, yes, ni dede won ba bi agbara ba se kan ni asiko kokan walima is not to for you to kill yourself, my dear brother. Walima is not for you to withdraw all your money you have been saving from end power. Now empower is to empower you. It is not. Sorry, my brother in empower. And sisters too. I know some sisters in empower. So after the Walima, you begin to enter into trouble. Begin to get into debt. One rago now. One goat. He goat now. How much will it cost? Eh? Is it more than 10,000 naira? Eh? Let's say 15,000 naira for one rago. And you will spend 1,000 naira for those boys who are there to slaughter it for you. They will finish it. You can buy one keg of 4 liters of groundnut oil. Go. And some maggi and with 20,000 naira. You will fry that meat well. If it is in the north, zakasa yaji, you put yaji inside it. Go. And then we'll sit down, we'll chop the walima with you happily. That's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Ibn Auf at that time was like the Dangote. The Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala bi mada bisham. Even if it is one goat slaughter. It means if I slaughter one goat, what do you remain? What is remaining? Me. I have made walima to nikah with one chicken, one fowl. Me. Wallahi. I made walima to nikah with what? One chicken. One. Adieka. One. You know why? That is what I can afford at that. And I have made walima a slaughter camel. For 3 days, brothers, we are coming to eat in my house. Why? Because at that time, that is what I could afford. So don't bring problem to yourself. The Prophet did walima, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told people to bring food, he didn't have food. What is the name of the get-together that everybody will bring their own food? Picnic. What is the meaning of a picnic? You bring your food, you bring your own, you bring your own. Abdullah too will bring his own. Good? The mamu, baba, the mamu will bring his own. Everybody will bring their food. For my own walima, but I can't do walima now. For the walima of the person that is making walima. That is why it is accepted that our family members can come in when we want to do walima. Brother, listen. Don't say, what is okay? They have said that I'm the one who has the right. All my family, I nullify all of you. Don't behave like this. Some of our brothers are harsh like this. The reason why your family too can contribute is this that we are saying. The Prophet told the people, oh, bring everybody, bring your, so your family too can gather and bring. When Ali ibn Abi Talib married Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, he didn't have what to provide. People were bringing food. Usman brought, Ibn Auf brought, people brought, and then they made money. So family and friends can add something to that your goods. And then by the time you know it, Amalati Dele, Iresiti Dele. But today, many brothers, we like to chop from our brothers' name. We don't like to give them. Wallahi is bad. We want to ask Allah, are you taking something to him? This is my own contribution. Before the nikah, show him your love now. Is it just to talk? Like you were about to say, oh, John, come take me. Oh, my God, you know. In the past, sisters will cook for you. Today, sisters don't want to cook for you. They want you to collect, to get yoloko. What do they call yoloko in English? The ketra. Ketra should cook your food and package it. Sisters will now come. Salaam alaikum. Serve us food. They want to eat and go. In the past, from the nikah, walima is remaining 3 days. They will be with the sister. They will be doing everything with her, cook with her, you know, prepare her meal. They will take charge of it. Today, yoloko. Why are we like this? What's wrong with us? So, as it is the right of the brother making walima, his friends and family can rally around. They can call him Afa. What do you have for this walima? Say, nah, I don't get money. Only one goat. Ah, may I give you half bag of elubo? Ah, this one comes. I give you half basket of tomato. This one comes. I give you 2,000 naira pepper. The other one says, you cannot ask, I give you 200 naira. You know? What are we going to have? If we are really going to have walima, we will chop our mala. We will eat it together, all of us, happy. But these days, what we do is him alone. So when their family now come, family will now control the situation. You know, family, they can't give you anything without controlling you. So if you know that you have come from a family where if they come in front of your walima, since there are families, they will not come alone. They will come as they give you the gift, they will bring things upon you. Avoid those kind of walima. You don't start your marital life with that. Anyway, directly answering that question, walima to nikah is the right of the brother who is marrying the new sister. But it does not mean that friends and family cannot contribute to it. I hope that the matter is clear. Is it the right of the wife's parents or the husband? It is the right, the duty of the husband. Now let's explain something. The brother has only 30,000 naira. It's an empower brother. Sorry. Okay, I will not use empower again. Well, yes. So yes, brother. Oh yes, brother will not marry. Oh yes, brother will not marry. Marry every person according to ability. Wallahi, this Islam is a sweet religion. Every person with your ability. He said, the yunfik ru ta'atin min. Wa man kudira alayhi rizquhu, fal yunfik mimma ataahu Allah. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa ma ataaha. What did he say after that? Sayaj'alu Allahu ba'da usri yusra. Li yunfik ru ta'atin min sa'atin. The one that Allah has expanded his wealth, let him spend from his expanse wealth. Woman could ira in his kuhu. And to say dear by Lolong Gansi Law, how do you fit me matahullah? Let him spend from that small that Allah has given him. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa ma ataha. Allah has not placed a burden on you unless the one you bring upon your own head. You are an empire brother, you can't afford to take a haul. Our brothers are hiring haul for 250,000 naira to make walima to nikah. 400,000 naira for the month alone. If he is from Zu Sa'atin, liyunfik min Sa'atin. If he's from the brother with expanse wealth, let him spend from his expanse. But you that Allah has not provided that one, don't think like that. Yoko Regeo. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa ma ataha. Allah did not place body on you unless the one you put on top of your head is. Allah now did wa'azi to you. What is the wa'azi? Sayaj'alu Allahu ba'da usri yusra. After this period of hardship, this small that you have, don't worry. Allah will still give you more. So that tomorrow if you marry another sister, you can now slaughter a ram. Or you can slaughter a camel or a cow. Afterwards, Yoruba say, Ba, who is she? Malaye, Ba, Bambelaye, Ali Geranto, Dwayne, if a person has not died, what he will do in this dunya has not ended. Because if he is alive, he can slaughter an animal that is bigger than an elephant. This thinking that people don't have has led to many things occultic practice people go to look for money now. In Twitter, on 2 weeks ago on Twitter, a journalist interviewing a young boy in, I think, one of the South states, if I'm not mistaken, Delta, who strangulated somebody because he wants to make a naming ceremony for his child. Yes, it was on Twitter. And again, the journalist was asking, why did you do that? Did you know that this is what you are saying? Yes. Well, because I didn't get money. He has to do the Islam didn't say that. وَمَنْ كُذِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِسْكُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا أَعْتَاهُ اللَّهِ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا أَعْتَاهَا سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. So this understanding is lacking now amongst many young people. They want everything today, today. It may not be today, it may be tomorrow. Dangote didn't reach where he got to today. It's not a today's matter with Dangote. Go and ask any person you think is rich, not be today. They were patient and over time Allah enriched them. So why do you want to have it all today, oh young man? Wait for your time. Wait for it. Be patient. So if parents now, the parents of the sister, they want to send a list. This question I'm answering is because a brother may be in trouble because of it. The sister said, is it the family of the wife or the family of the husband? It is the husband, not his family. Him. So your brother who wants to marry you is working, sorry please, let's take it serious, he's working with OAS, earning 20,000 naira per month. You now give him a list, he should go and give you the event center, Aquara event center, or what is the name of it? And then, all the males that are coming should wear pink caps. All the women should wear pink gele. You give this brother this trouble, because he is the one that has the right of walima. That is not what we are talking about. He will do the walima according to his own ability. If he can slaughter a camel according to his pocket. If he can slaughter a ram according to his pocket. And like me, if he can slaughter a fowl too. Are they slaughtering a fowl? It's not slaughtering, eh? Killing a fowl for walima. Is it not slaughtering? Answer for me. Where is Abu Dhabi? It's not there. We slaughtered it. We say, our nurse is a banker. We added fish to it. We ate it. We enjoyed it. So that's what we want. With one chicken. Because we are just 7 of us that did the walima. Likewise, walima that. When I did walima of Kamel, it was a Sultan Bello in Kaduna. Sultan Bello, you know the meaning of Sultan Bello Mosque in Kaduna? Look, go and Google Sultan Bello Mosque. All the big Malams of Izala were there. Malam Yusuf Samori Gachuku, all of them, they were there. The same way that slaughtered the chicken. One day, you slaughter camel another day. So don't think that you can't have it like that. You can. So but make do with what you have today. Yes, today, this is what I can afford. May Allah make it easy for all of us. So this sister, they should not put energy because the brother has a right. He will only make the walima according to his ability. May Allah protect us. Please, what is your advice for a Muslim wife that wants to get a job and work? Muslim wife that wants to get a job, a medical job, and work. There are a lot of things connected to a woman's working. Some of the work are things that we will even encourage. Go and work if you have the expertise. Like a female medical doctor now with a gynecologist or a general practitioner in medicine will encourage you to work. Especially if we have a single female part of a hospital, we will encourage you. Or a pharmacist sister, you're working in a hospital where women, Muslim women, are coming there regularly and they have a section perhaps. We'll encourage you, help them, or a nurse, please help them. Or you're a teacher, we have a single female secondary school or primary school or nursery school, to your females. We'll encourage you, go on, carry on, we'll encourage you. Or you are ustaza, a sister, Hafiz of Quran, she knows Arabic very well, she learns the Quran and the aspects of it. We'll encourage her to do a small madrasa for sister. Encourage, in fact, she said, sister, please, God will help you, you to try, we'll encourage her. These are what too. So we'll encourage all of these jobs that are absolutely necessary. Teacher in a single female school and all of this. We'll encourage, we'll not only say it is allowed, it's encouraged. But when a sister wants to work in Abiri now, how is that? Sister, Opetisheni Abiri, where she'll be going and coming back with men. Does Islam allow that? Sister, I want to know more. You think of it yourself. Would you like to find yourself in a situation where you are in one working office with three men? The best name they will call you in that office is Elijah, if they respect you. Otherwise, they will call you Elijah. Won't they? Your name is Rashida Abdusalam. You join the work as Rashida Abdusalam. After they will call you Mrs. Abdusalam, if they respect you. So, but by the time you know it, you will develop a kind of a relationship with those same men that Allah predicted. A relationship of familiarity. Because you see yourself 6 hours per day for 5 days of working week. How many working hours do we have? 8 hours. 8 times 5. 40 hours you will be in the midst of men. For 40 hours every week, my sister, if your iman is made with iron around you like this, that iron will break. You start seeing familiarity that is not desired in it. This kind of a work situation, Allah prohibits. Because a work situation of interaction between men and women, Allah hates it. Don't go and do that. It will spoil you. The husband who sent you there, it will spoil him too. Those people who work in civil service should tell us about illicit intercourse in a civil service. Arabs will say, Hadith wala harajko. You will stop today, you will stop. If you want to be discussing illicit relationship in workplaces, I've read a lot of articles on it. Unfortunately for me, the articles I have read on it were from the UK, we are from the US, the research on workplace love affair. I've read a lot of articles on them. Go to Flipboard. Flipboard will give you a lot of articles on workplace relationship between opposite sex. You find out that it's a sorry thing. In the Europe and in the US, it is not an abnormality that a man is working in an office with a woman and they are both committing evil together. They see it as a normal thing. So when you say, you say, you know what, strange in men, what about that affair? What's strange in that? May Allah protect us. If a man is pleased with that kind of a thing, he becomes a dayut. The dayut are those who will not enter Al-Jannah. They won't even smell the fragrance. A man who doesn't care what which men are relating with his wife, who care. Many of them are in Lagos now. I say it again. In Lagos, it happens. A woman has complained about her husband like that. She's also working in civil service, but the husband is working out of Lagos. So she complained that her husband is not coming to meet her to satisfy the rights of marriage. So she said that her husband that, look, some men want to be making zina with her. She said so. And that she told her husband that the husband said, so what? Hear me now. After all, I'm not around. That should be a husband. But therefore, that is a small thing. Compared to a situation where her mother told her that, go ahead now. Her mother who gave birth to her in Lagos. I said, look, go and seek divorce. You go out of that marriage and look for another husband. Because by the time you know it, you will find yourself where you don't expect. So if a Muslim sister is working in a distance, she said her boss in the office is sending messages to her. Let us go out, as they say, or something. She has a lot of messages on her phone. Is that the kind of wife you want to keep? Your brother, Omalaya Nabi, and I will end with this hadith of Omar radiallahu. One of the things for which, one of the asbab al-nuzul of hijab, was a statement from Omar radiallahu. Omar came to the messenger and said, messenger of Allah, just anybody, alayhi salatu wasalam, just anybody seeing your wife, just anybody can see the wife of Allah's messenger. Let Allah do something. Allah reveal the verse of hijab. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Aha. La, that is surah An-Nur. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. No. I want ayatul hijab in surah Al-Ahzab. La, this is ayah of jilbab, ya Abdul Salam. I want. Jazakallahu khairan Abdul Rahman. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. La tadkhulu buyutan nabiy illa ay yu'zana lakum ila ta'amin ghayra nadirina ila. Walakin idha du'itum fadkhulu. فَإِذَا قُعِنْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَعْنِسِينَ الْحَدِيثِ إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَيَفْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ اللَّهُ لَا يَفْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَنْ تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده عبدا إن ذلك كان عند الله عظيما إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. It's آية of hijab. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي. It is connected to وليمة النكاح. Because God revealed on the وليمة النكاح of Zainab بنت جحش. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي ما ولي النبي لا يؤذن لكم إلى قرآن. Until you are invited, come in. Don't enter the messenger's house. Because some people can come to your house at the time of lunch. So that when you eat lunch, they will eat lunch with you. Don't do that to the messenger. إلا أن يؤذن لكم. Unless you are permitted to do so. Don't go and sit down to wait for food. When you are invited, come into the house of the messenger, enter. وَلَا مُفْتَعْنِسِينَ الْحَدِيثِ وَإِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَدْخُلُوا وَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ. And when you have been invited for the food, وَلَا مُفْتَعْنِسِينَ الْحَدِيثِ. Don't touch gist after food, go. Because when you sit down and start this thing, Zahanikum, Yuzi Nabiya, that thing causes harm, inconvenience to the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fayastahyi minkum. But the Prophet is shy of you. Wallahu la yastahyi min al-haq. But Allah is not shy to tell you the truth. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, he said when this verse was revealed, Zainab bint Jahsh, who was the new wife of the Prophet, on that day upon whom the walima was being done, she was sitting at the corner of the house, turning her back to the rest of the Muslims because the walima was in her house, in her room. One of the wives of the Messenger, in her room, alayhi salatu, was the venue of walima. So she turned her back. She sat down, turned her back while the people were making walima. The Prophet didn't like it. He was shy of us. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. But Allah is not shy to tell you the truth. This is the law now. What did he say? فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا. From today onward, if you want to have any kind of asking them, the wives of the messenger, for anything, فَأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَيْ حِجَابِ. Ask them from behind the veil. So Allah put the drop the veil. Anna said, I went out to drop the food for people. He was the one serving the people. You know, he's a servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I cannot come back again. The hijab has been dropped. So and he said, Zalika atuharu li kulubikum wa kulubihinna. This one will make for a better purity of your heart, you the companions, and the heart of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam al-Shinkiti rahimahullah, in his book Abwa'ul Bayan, fi idahi al-Qur'ani bil-Qur'an, because the ulama say this verse bil-ijma', Al-Imam al-Qurtubi said it. He said this verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, likewise Al-Imam al-Tabari and others among the scholars of Tafsir. They say this verse is the verse that makes veiling the face compulsory for the wives of the Prophet. But many of the scholars say that this verse is restricted to the wives of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Shinkiti said that statement of restriction is wrong. That in that verse, there's evidence that it is for everybody. That when Allah said Zalikum atuharu, so it means Dharbul hijab li taharatil qulub. Allah revealed and dropped the hijab for the purity of our hearts. So he said, is that purity of the heart for the wives of the Prophet alone or for everybody? Answer me, my brothers. Then the ruling is for all of us. That we should not be speaking directly to women except from behind the veil. Allah said it will make for the purity of our hearts, for the hearts of the companions, the wives of the messenger radiallahu anhu. He said for the purity of the heart for all of us or for them alone. The hearts of the companions should be pure and the wives of the Prophet should be pure. Our own hearts can do as we like. Is that law? The correct thing is that we all should seek for the purity of our hearts. Allah said, hijab will do that. So when a woman is now walking, don't forget, how will that happen? How? It means everybody will have access to her. No noble man likes to push his wife to keep him. No noble person, eminent person likes to say, oh, see my wife. Dangote's wife, where is her office? In his office. You will not see her. She's somewhere. Those who matter don't push out their wives. Before President Buhari became someone who wants to vie for presidency, and the first time, we didn't know who Aisha Buhari was. Go back to history. We didn't know Aisha Buhari. Some people told him to bring her out. We didn't know Aisha Bukhari before the president. May Allah keep him strong. We didn't know her until the last stages of the first time he was contesting election. No noble man, and this man is noble, ikhwa. Wala nuzakki ala Allahi ahada. The man is a noble man. If he is not noble, we will not be able to say anything. We will just pray behind. That's how to deal with leaders that are not noble. You don't come out and say, oh, he's not a noble man. If he's not a noble man, you just be praying behind. Allah, ennoble this man. But if he's a noble man, you say it so that people copy from him. And that is how leaders should be. The man is noble. His enemies know that he's noble. I said this here once. And still today, it strikes my mind. I saw a video clip, the man was saying that, I can stand before Allah to tell Allah that I never stole one naira from the people. I've never heard that kind of a thing before. So somebody to say, look, I can stand before God and say I didn't steal one naira of these people's money. Publicly like that. And the opposition cannot say, like, if you stole money yesterday, will they not accept it? He will have done it. It's a strange thing. I've never heard this kind before. I've never heard it before. Somebody say, I accept perhaps the times of companions and... What are these our times? Which leader in which part of the world? We come out and say, I can stand before God that I never stole one naira from my people. Which leader will say that? Who? As noble as this man was, we did not used to know his wife till the fourth time he was contesting election. Fourth time. And the fourth time, it was towards the end. Some people started shouting, where is your wife? That is how people do to people. Let us stop there. The point is that noble people don't push out their wives to people. They don't push out their wives. They keep their wives. If you see the wife outside, something brought her outside. That is why the man was bold enough to say that her place is somewhere. Did he not say that? Then no. Every noble man does that. No noble man pushes his wife to people. You will become, you will change. You will not be noble again. And if there are insults that have come to this family, our first family, it is insult from which angle? If there are insults of fraud, from which angle have they come? Are we not in this country, in it? Let me stop there. No noble man pushes his family to his wife. Say, see my wife, no can I talk to her? No. No. They will keep their wife from people and attraction. Deal with me, don't deal with my family. Deal with me. But these days, may Allah protect us. So if you want to remain a noble brother, don't push your wife outside. If Allah has excused women from 5 daily salah inside the masjid, he told them to pray inside the house is better. Is it to be flying about that he will allow them and encourage them? May Allah protect us. Our sister, how can someone pray Salatul Subhi with Juma or with Jama'a? Remain in the masjid, pray the 2 units of Salatul Duha, and also achieve the content in the hadith of 4 rak'ahs of Salatul Duha. We have explained that the time of Ishraq is the beginning of Duha, so you can make those 4 rak'ahs at that time. These are the questions that have been sent forward, too. Okay. Please, someone forgot to perform ablution before wearing socks. She had observed Zuhur after Maghrib, but remembered when she was about to observe Isha that she wore the socks before ablution. You know, if you want to make masjh ala al-jawrabayn, you want to be rubbing over your socks, you must have performed ablution before wearing that socks. We discussed this too, when we were discussing wudu. Now, in her own case, she forgot to perform ablution completely before wearing the socks. Because perhaps, if you are used to doing it, something similar to that was a day I wasn't wearing a cap and then I got to the class. I went to class without cap. One of my lecturers was asking, where is your glove? Where is it? I said, yes. I said, where is your cap? I touched my head. I didn't see anything. So when you are used to doing something, sometimes you forget to do it, thinking that you have done it. This is a mistake you found a mistake. So what she should just do is go that solar, go and make your ablution, then wear the socks and then continue. You will not need to start paying back the solar you had already performed. You don't need to start paying back those solar. Just proceed. Now, I mean, I wanted to cite a hadith on that last issue that I discussed. Now, you smile. Okay. I wanted to, sometimes when you say like that, to give a push, think of Tamale. So some narrations came to my mind. The first one that came to my mind is the hadith where the messenger removed his shoes during Salah. They were on Salah. He was wearing a shoe underneath that shoe. There was feces there. Jibril came to tell him, remove the shoe. He removed the shoe, alayhi salam. And then continued with the Salah. He did not go back to perform the Salah he was wearing. He had a glass while the shoe was on. But that one is agreeable. Was why I stopped, I was thinking. Because that does not spoil his Salah. So carry, if you have najasa on you, on your body, and you're observing Salah, izala to najasa, it does not make his side of Salah. If on your body, there's najis. It is compulsory to remove the najis. But if you don't remove the najis, the Salah is still valid. But you are committing a sin. So I was thinking that that would not be a good proof. So I was trying to scan another proof for that. And then I remembered the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abu Huraira and Sunan Abi Dawud. That once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to perform ghusl janab. This hadith, the Imam al-Albani mentions it Hassan in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud. So he was guilty, he had to perform ghusl. But he forgot, he came to observe Salah with the people. In some riwayat, it said that he started Takbiratul Ihram, Allahu Akbar. But in the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he did not say that he had started Takbiratul Ihram. But the report that said that he started Takbiratul Ihram has been graded authentic by the scholars of hadith like Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. So he made Takbir, Allahu Akbar, and then remembered that he was to perform Ghusl Janaba. So he turned to the people and said to them, Ayyuhanna ala riflikum. O people, all of you should stand where you are. When he started that Salah, you know he was not in ablution. He was not in purity for Salah. He had started the Salah. So he told them to wait. He went inside, took his ghusl, came back and continued from there. That is what matches the situation of this sister. Meaning that the Salah you perform thinking that you are upon purification for Salah, when you are not actually upon purification for Salah, is valid. I hope that that point is clear. So that was what I was trying to scan in my mind. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum Salaam. Now, is it allowed to do what? To buy a toy That is what? Animate, like a toy of an elephant or the toy of a goat or something. Yes. It is allowed for children to play with toys. Aisha radiallahu anha had dolls. And dolls are toys too, too. Are dolls toys? Eh? Yes, they are. Dolls are toys. She had a doll. One of them was a horse that had a feather, wing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was playing he with her. He said, ah, this your horse has a wing. What was the reply of Aisha radiallahu anha? Who remembered her response? Who remembers her response? That have you forgotten that Suleiman's horse had a wing? She told him that husband and wife playing. Some brothers don't play with their wives. The messenger was playing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Aisha. Muhammadu and Aisha, alayhi salam. So some people don't play with their wives. Play with your wife. She was a very little young girl. Play with dolls. And the Prophet had brought her to the house when she was 9 years old. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the marriage was consummated when she was 7 years old, according to the report in Sahih Muslim. And then she came into the house at 9. Radiallahu anha. She lived with him for another 9 years. Making how many? He died when she was 18. Radiallahu anha. And then she lived for another, she died 68 years after Hijrah. 68 AH. So for how many years did she live? 50 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she learned for 9 years and taught for 50 years. Radiallahu anha. There's a hikmah in it. If you marry a young girl, devote your time to her education. If you marry a little young girl, devote time to get her educated. To get her to perhaps attain modern day education, to learn Islam, memorize Quran, learn Arabic. Because she will carry on that knowledge for, inshallah, a long time. If you marry a young girl, devote time to get her to learn. I think that was what happened to President Bukhari too. When he married this Aisha, she was said to be young. He was the one, BSc, MSc, all the world in his house. So if you marry a little young girl, devote time to make her learn. Expose her to life. Teach her something. So she'll be able to carry that knowledge to subsequent generations. رضي الله عنها. عليكم السلام. عليه السلام. When the Imam is on Salah, some Imams will say, Muhammadun Rasulullah, they will now stop. Expecting people to say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Muhammadun Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasallam. Some ulama say we should not stop here. That we should say, Muhammadun Rasulullah, wallazina ma'ahu ashidda wa alam. There are issues among scholars of tafsir about this place, but the question is coming back. If the Imam now says Muhammadun Rasulullah, should we say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam while in salah? No. Why? Because he did not teach the companions to say so. If he had taught them to say so, la nukila ilayna, it would have been conveyed to us. Because nothing was it that he did, teaching them the deen that they did not convey. radiallahu anhu, he conveyed every aspect of his life, including how he used to sleep. So how will he observe Salah and read Muhammad Rasulullah? And they would have said Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then it will not have been conveyed. It is strange. That meant that they were not saying so. So we will not say so too. Cash everyone to say anybody. Musheri for one. Naam. Alaykum salam. Amin want. Naam. Is it allowed to say? They are oppressing Allah. It is a strange statement. Don't say that. Nobody can oppress Allah. Nobody can oppress Allah. It's a wrong thing. One chapter is for long. It does not mean they are oppressing Allah. Mean think about your back off. But I know that one Shabbos is so long does not mean that they oppress Allah. That means they are directing injustice to Him. They are directing injustice towards Allah. But they cannot oppress Allah. Oppress Allah. Oppressing means someone you have power over on. You are trampling upon his rights. But it has to do with you having power over that person. That is oppression. So we don't have power over Allah, even though we are people can be trampling the rights of Allah. So what we will say is indirect injustice towards Allah by shirk. Alaykum salam. Amin. We will answer that question in the next class. Don't worry. It will be addressed in the next class. Alaykum salam. Now, sujood al-tilawa is what? Is what? The dua is in Hisnul Muqim. Look for Hisnul Muqim. Alaykum salam. I would have wanted us to talk here. Alaykum salam. Okay, don't worry. Let the brother ask. Ask. Alaykum salam. How do we correction on nawafi? We sujood al-sahwi too. Sujood al-sahwi is for both wajibat and nawafi. We will get there inshallah in our next class. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.